Good morning. Look what Cam has. That's for me being the best preacher in Lee County. See that ball bat I got right there? That helps. Our men won the tournament this year, went undefeated during the tournament, and there's our trophy. So, well done. And Cam was carrying that around this morning at breakfast, and so I said, well, I'm going to let you present it as we come today, and we are grateful. We're glad that you're here. There are several announcements that I hope you'll be noticing. I hope you'll notice that this evening at 6:30, we're going to share in a special time of Thanksgiving. We're going to do it this morning, but also this evening. If you'd like to come and be a part of that, we would invite you to come at 6:30. For a very special worship experience, and I hope you'll plan to be a part of that. We're going to have worship experiences for the next 5 weeks as we move from Thanksgiving and then into Christmas. Our programs are all getting ready to start. Next Sunday evening, we'll have our Hanging of the Green service where we will decorate our sanctuary. On December the 4th, we're going to have a baptism, and we're looking forward to that, and then the evening programs will begin. I believe FSYC will be first, and then our children's program, and then our adult choir will be presenting the cantata. So a lot is going to be happening, and I hope that you'll be involved. You'll see the Angel Tree opportunities. And as we are here at this point, I got the word that almost 1,350 meals were served yesterday at the Lord's Cafe in Whitley City. David and Maureen carried 66 cans of green beans from our church and helped serve those meals to those folks. And we wanted to just thank the Lord for that opportunity and for that involvement. In a few moments in our service, we'll have our prayer time. Let me go ahead and give some prayer concerns that we have. One is that we want to add Larry Kelly to our prayer list. And Larry has gone with many that are fighting the fires in the western part of our state right now, and we want to be remembering all those firefighters, and many from Lee County have gone. I think 8 or 10 have gone at different times, some coming back, and others may well be going in that battle against those wildfires. So we want to keep them lifted up, and especially Larry. We do want to remember the family of Norman Alman. He passed away. That's Barry Alman, Annelle Alman. Annette, we might know her better as Annelle Garner or Annelle Wilkie, but he did pass away, and we won't be remembering that family. It is good to see Sean and Michelle here. There she is. I didn't see you till right then. Kayla is with us today, and we are excited that you are here. We really are. We've been praying for you. We're going to continue to pray. She still has some challenges ahead of her, and we want to continue to pray for her in just a very, very, very special way. It is good to see you. Ken Jackson, we need to continue to keep Ken lifted up in our prayers in a very, very special way as he is battling cancer and has had a very difficult week. Please keep him lifted up. Tomorrow, Robert McGeehee will be undergoing surgery at the VA in Durham. We want to be keeping him lifted up as well. You'll see other names. Jesse Walker is going to be having in these next few days a pacemaker. Taylor Vann, a young lady in our community that was burned, we want to keep her lifted up. That list is long, and we certainly want to keep all of those lifted up. Thank you for all that you do for my daughter, Rebecca. We've given you her address down there. Several had asked for that. I hope you'll keep her lifted up in your prayers as well. And now, we have gathered on this day and come into this place to worship the Lord. Would you take a moment now to take a deep breath, not only physically, but spiritually, and prepare to encounter the living God as he moves through the praise of his people. you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you breathe on us a fresh new breath? Would you allow our minds to think thoughts that are inspired and directed by you that we've never thought before? Would you speak to our heart words we've never heard before? Would you challenge us in ways we've never been challenged before? Would you do in us what only you can do? God, for every heart that would volunteer this morning, for every mind that would be willing today to hear you and to experience you in a new and life-changing way, to every one of us who would be willing to say, Lord, here am I in your presence, and invite you, O God, to do a new thing, you'll do it. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hymn number 605, Because I Have Been Given Much. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here to Flat Springs Baptist Church. Lord, be with those on our prayer list and those that are on the concern list. Lord, be with them and lift them up. And let us remember, Lord, we need to be thankful all year round, not just this week. Thank us for our many blessings and for all the things we have in this world. Be with us now. Bless this offering for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
sing if the children will come on down. Good morning. Today, representatives of our missions organizations, we come to the altar with gifts. With your donations, we've joined together with other Christians and the Samaritan's Purse Organization in order to support and to participate in foreign missions. And on behalf of WMU, we thank you. From mission friends to our most experienced ladies' adult missions organizations, we have put together, collected, and packed toys and tokens of our love for others, as the Bible commands that we do. In Deuteronomy, we are instructed to open our hands wide to our brother, to the needy, and to the poor. In Hebrews, we are told to share. In John 13, Jesus adds a commandment: as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. We believe that every shoebox delivered is a tangible expression of obedience, sacrifice, and love that is required of us. It is our hope that God will bless our offerings and that through our gifts, children, their parents, and their neighborhoods will come to know Jesus. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you've done for one of the least of these, you have done for me." We come to the altar asking God's blessings on these gifts, to the children who will receive them, for you, the givers, and we also ask blessings for Baptist children's homes and for the service of our missionaries in the field who are working to spread our faith. Coming to mind, Maureen and David Acock returning from Kentucky today, one of the poorest areas of our nation. I think of Jonathan and Jess Bridges in Ethiopia, his brother Joe and his wife Karen in Ethiopia, Jonathan Johnson in Hong Kong, and Becca Jackson now in Nepal. Becca has entered a country of Nepal that just 19 months ago was devastated by earthquake, and those are the circumstances in which she is working to spread our faith. Let's remember those missionaries. Because of your support, Flat Springs volunteers will be delivering over 200 shoeboxes filled with gifts ranging from sewing kits to fishing kits, soap to toothpaste, slinkies to balls, hair bows, hair brushes, coloring books, and crayons. While you adults did most of the shopping, it is our children and our teens who did most of the packing. And they did all of this with no expectation of thanks from recipients or even knowing their names or their countries. As it is written, by all possible means, we do these things for the sake of the gospel, that we might share in its blessings. May it be so.
This one says boy. This one says girl. We don't know the boy. We don't know the girl. But God does. And it is my prayer, as we offer these as an instrument of our grace and of our mercy, that even now God would be preparing that child. That when they receive this and open it up, and it came from Deep River, North Carolina, they'll know it came from heaven. And they'll know that God blessed that child who probably has no soap, who has no toothpaste, who probably has no toothbrush right now. Would you pray with me? God, you have blessed us with so much. Remind us we are your hands and your feet. And there are boys and girls that are loved just as much as our children by their parents and by their communities, but their circumstances are so much different. They've been devastated by disaster. They've been devastated by living under a government that treats them as just almost dirt. They've been destroyed by war. They're poor. They have hardly anything. We've probably thrown out more this year than they'll have all year. God, in the midst of this, we pray your blessing. We pray that this might be hope, that this might be an avenue through which your grace and your mercy and your love is expressed, that someone might come to know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins, that someone might come to know you as their Lord and as their Savior as a result of these small boxes and your Son's sacrifice and our willingness to be used by you. God, we pray a blessing upon these boxes, but not really. God, we pray a blessing upon the boys and the girls that shall receive. Do a great work. May we pray not only now, but all this Christmas season for those who have less, that you might be more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our children can stay for children's sermon when you're done.
Hey guys, so what we got this week going on? What's going to happen this week? Thanksgiving. You know how many turkeys I got to cook this week? A whole bunch. Give me some things that we're thankful for. Family.
God.
What else? Friends. Our church, our health. Me personally, I'm thankful for Volkswagens. I'm thankful for Star Wars. I'm thankful for our church family. Psalms 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever." Do y'all know the stories of the pilgrim? You do? And the Indians? The first winter the pilgrims spent in America was very, very cold. Some days all they had enough was 5 kernels of corn for each person. But when that spring came, the pilgrims planted that corn and it grew so they had food for the next year. From then on, Thanksgiving, the pilgrims kept 5 kernels of corn on their plates to remind themselves what God provided for them. And out of those 5 kernels, the first kernel reminded them that God loved them. The second kernel, it reminded them that God provides for all their needs. The third kernel reminded us of the friends that God has given us. Just as the American Indians were friends to the pilgrims. The fourth kernel reminded us of the people that God has given to us, the ones who love us like our family. And the fifth kernel, it reminded us that God hears our prayers and he answers them. Y'all ready to pray? Y'all going to eat some turkey for me too this week? And let's bow our heads. God, thank you for providing us for all our needs and for loving us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a beautiful sight down here. If I may ask some of you before scattering to go to your cars and your homes following service today, we're going to need to remove pulpit furniture to get ready for programs tonight and the next several weeks. So we need some bodies to help us carry all of these back over, I guess, to the fellowship hall and then move the pulpit furniture out. So if some of you can please stay in here before you exit the building today. Turn in your hymnals, please, to number 611. Familiar tune, but different words. Let's stand as we sing.
Reading from Psalms 95, 1 through 7. Come, let's sing joyfully to the Lord. Let's shout happily to the rock of our salvation. Let's come into his presence with song, thanksgiving. Let's shout happily to him with psalms. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the dry places of the earth, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel in front of the Lord, our Maker, because he is our God, and we are the people in his care, the flock that he leads. If only you would listen to him today.
Thank you, David. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a tremendous hymn we just sang. Give us that vision to see that when we love others, we love you, that we have been blessed to be a blessing, that you have reminded us today that to whom much is given, much shall be required. And Lord, may your love flow from this place today, this week of thanksgiving, that we might indeed live our life in a way that would demonstrate to others that you are the one for whom we are most thankful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. Give thanks. Indeed, that is our challenge today. And as we are giving thanks, I would like to thank the church for a surprise birthday party you threw in my honor last week. I'm trying hard to make it to this Thursday when will be my birthday, so you wouldn't have done that all in vain. And so far, so good. Today, on this Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to do something that I don't always do, but I'm going to try to offer a pretty deep theological explanation of Thanksgiving. I'm going to use a passage that is probably not a very normal Thanksgiving passage. You're already turning there to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. To put it in big words, I do have an earned doctorate degree, you know that, right? We'll be talking about the incarnation and the explanation of the delayed parousia in eschatological terms. I really did earn one. You got that? I know some stuff. What that means, if you're not reading a theological book, is the church that Paul was writing to at Corinth was beginning to wonder why Christ hadn't already returned and now people were dying. What about that? They thought when Jesus left, he'd be coming back immediately. You and I are taught. In fact, we are warned. In fact, we are challenged to live as though before nightfall today, Christ could return. And guess what? He could. But what happened when the first believer died? What happened when Christians who were expecting the continuation of Christ's ministry just a few years ago at this moment found themselves not coming? The parousia is the word for the second return. And eschatological is the word that talks about end times when Christ shall come again. Brothers and sisters, when we live in this reality, it changes how we live. And it changes what we're thankful for. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin to read in verse 50. We're going to read through verse 58. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. I tell you this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, that is going to perish, that's going to die, that's going to go back to the dust, inherit the imperishable, that shall be eternal. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body, it must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? The death of death is what he's talking about. Isn't that amazing? Verse 56. The sting of death. You see this? Are you reading with me? The sting of death is sin. And the power of the sin is the law. I'm excited about verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our work in the Lord, your labor in the Lord, is not in vain. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, speak to us for just a moment this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What are you most thankful for? You can be very thankful, but if we're thankful for the wrong stuff, what are we thankful for today? Well, it's a question that doesn't always have the same answer, and depending on where we are, have you ever got a little bit distracted and maybe run off the road and pull back on? You were thankful for that moment that you didn't overcorrect or undercorrect. What are we thankful for? There's a great little story I read. Boy, I found myself in it. It was Thanksgiving season, and so the family had gathered around the turkey dinner, and From the oldest to the youngest, they were to express their thanksgiving, what they were thankful for. And when it came to the five-year-old's time, you know how five-year-olds think. God help us think more like five-year-olds. He began. First, he looked at the turkey, and he was thankful for that. But then his mind, as a five-year-old mind will do, he began to think about the turkey. And he said, not only do I want to thank you for the turkey, but thank you for Mama who cooks it so well. And thank you for Daddy who carved it so wonderfully well. But he wasn't through there. He began to understand that that turkey didn't just show up. So he thanked for the checker at the grocery store that checked out when Mama bought the turkey. But then he thought, and for the man who put it in the freezer so we could get it and take it to the checker. And then he thought, but it didn't just start in the freezer. For the man who delivered it from the farm, that wasn't it either. Somebody had to raise it. And on this little praise went, trying to make sure no one was unthanked for that marvelous turkey. Until finally, he got to the end, and just to make sure, before he ended his part, he asked that question, did I leave anybody out? To which his two-year-old brother, with a little bit of disdain, said, you left out God. And suddenly, without being flustered at all, the five-year-old said, I was just about to get to him. That's a good question. What are you thankful for? And will we get to God today, this week, in our thanksgiving? The theology of thanksgiving is spelled out as clearly as anywhere in Scripture in the passage that I've just read. In these nine verses, Paul tells us the theology of thanksgiving. He starts out with this first reality, the starting place of why you and I need to be thankful, of why thanksgiving should be a part of our everyday life. And he tells us, as plainly as you can be told, life on this earth is temporary. You and I live in bodies, Paul will later in another place call bodies made of clay. We have this earthly treasure in clay vessels, he says. You and I, we live in a body, but I'm more than this body. This body doesn't look like it did when it was 2. Doesn't look like it did when it was 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. What will it look like in another 60 years? But yet you will know Gary not because of the body, but because of the spirit. We might call it personality, and that's a piece of it. We might call it the thinking, and that's another piece of it. We might talk about the feelings and the emotions, and that too is another part of it. But we might also talk about the core of what that is, and that is that part that was created in the image of God. Go all the way back to Genesis. Go all the way back to the garden and see God kneel down over Adam, that word Adamos, the first man, and see him breathe into Adam's nostrils, the ruah, the breath of life. And the Bible says, and when God breathed into that man made of clay that God had fashioned from the dust, that man became a living soul, a living spirit, a living ruah. He became something more than all the other animals that had already been created. You know, right today, the deer aren't gathering for worship. This has been a rough year for me. I don't know where the deer are, but they're not gathering for worship. I know that. They're not going to some deer church to pray. The rabbits aren't having a prayer service somewhere. They were created differently for different purposes, and they do what rabbits and deer do. But you and I, we're here this day because you and I were created in the image of God, the Creator, to worship, to praise, to give thanks. This mortal body of ours, it would cause us to think more like the rabbits and more like the deer. Where are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? What's next? Moment by moment. But God says, I want you to understand, I've created you down here in a temporary place. There's a test for you. That's my next point. But I've created you to live eternally. You see, this world, as good as it is, it's not that good, is it? It really isn't. I had to have a filling this week. You ever had a filling? Aren't those fun? I mean, have anybody ever just decided, let's have a filling vacation? You just said, you know, Doc, I really don't have any cavities, but I just love filling so well. I'm just going to take some time off, and would you fill a bunch of my teeth? We just don't do that, do we? We fill a tooth. We have a tooth filled. Why? Because it's decayed. There's a problem there. Today, before this day is done, someone will die in one of the major cities in Chicago. The death rate is far ahead of every day of the year. I can hardly turn on the TV at any time to not hear that somewhere in Durham or Raleigh, and sometimes even in Sanford, there's been a shooting. It breaks my heart to see the news reports from Syria and the bombs that are going off and hospitals being bombed and children sitting in ambulances, their head covered in blood. Children the age of my Bailey. That's hard to see. This world is not that good. Oh, there's wonderful things about it. I love sunsets. I love rainbows. I love you. But this world is not, it's not our future. Paul sees that the fact that we've got to take off the imperishable, the perishable, the mortal, he doesn't see that as a problem. He sees it as an opportunity. Why? Because we were created for eternity. We're created for an eternal home. This is just a pass-through place. It's temporary. Whether by death or by the second coming of Christ, that parousia, we're going to leave this earthly assignment, you and I, for our eternal destiny. That's the promise. That's the reality. Probably nobody here knows anybody that's 150 years old, do you? And so the track record is pretty solid. And now as I approach my 60th birthday and realize there's more life behind me than in front of me, I'm excited. I'm excited about the promises of God. I'm excited about the reality that I will work until the Lord no longer gives me the strength to work or the ability to work. But until that day, I know that God has a plan. And I'm going to do the very best I can with this temporary, perishable, mortal world in which you and I live. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm planning to have turkey this Thursday. And some cranberry sauce. I like cranberry. Why do we only eat that once a year? That's a question for another day. I'm excited about your friendship. I'm excited about seeing you and seeing you smile when you walk by the door. I get a little worried when you're not smiling. So smile when you leave today, will you? And you always do. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share life with you, to share ministry with you, to share the challenges with you. But 50 years ago, there was a whole different group of people sitting in this sanctuary, weren't there? A whole different group. Different leaders, different Sunday school teachers, different folks standing in this pulpit, different folks standing in this choir. 50 years ago, that was before Leonard came. And 50 years from now, if the Lord delays the parousia, you're going to know a big word when you leave, aren't you? If the Lord should delay his second coming, 50 years more, there'll be another group. There'll be another person standing where I'm standing, sitting where many of those behind me are sitting, and sitting where you're sitting. Our assignment is temporary. That's what it is. And he says, I want to show you a mystery. And now I get to the test. The test that you and I are taking. We can't go to God the way we are right now, you nor I. The theology of thanksgiving is, and I've got to tell you, and he tells it in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is in the law. Sin separates us from a holy God. Your sin and my sin, and we're all sinners. We're all sinners. This past week, we've all thought thoughts we shouldn't have thought. We've said words we shouldn't have said. We've done deeds we shouldn't have done. Each and every one of us. And so we face our test. How do you and I, who are unholy, come before a holy God? How can I, and not only am I in this perishable mortal body, this temporary, but I'm sin-stained. And you're sin-stained. And God is holy. Sin-free. It's a sin-free zone where God is. Heaven is a sinless place. A sinless existence. How are we going to get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. How are we going to get there? Through Jesus Christ. We're about to celebrate the Advent. We're about to celebrate God intervening in history and providing a way. And what's the test you and I must take? The test you and I must take is, what will we do with Jesus? And today you've got some options. We can walk out today and decide we won't do anything with Jesus. I bet somebody last week, I'm just going to be honest. Y'all ready for honest? I bet somebody last week, by making no decision, probably didn't willfully say, I'm going to decide today not to do anything with Jesus this past week. But maybe we just made no decision at all, because sometimes I've found when I don't decide to go with Jesus, I decide to go without him. Does that make sense? So you and I, we must decide what we're going to do. This body that you and I are in, this temporary body, we're taking a test about eternity. The old earth is just temporary. And I've reached that point where I realize that temporary is just what it is. I want to give you a name. You know the name Jim Elliot? Life Magazine. Y'all won't go home and Google Life Magazine. We don't do Life Magazine anymore. I bet they're online. I bet Life's online. I don't know they are. But Life Magazine used to be like the cream de la cream of magazines. They did a 10-page story on Jim Elliot back in the late 50s, early 60s. He died a young man. He died after giving up a successful business because he felt the Lord calling him to go to Ecuador to be a missionary. And he got to a place and he was doing the work with a group of indigenous people in Ecuador that were very receptive. But they kept talking about another group, another indigenous group that were across the river that were very hostile to outsiders. And it began to be put on Jim Elliot's heart and mind that he needed to carry the gospel across the river. And the folks that he was ministering said, oh, no, you don't want to go across the river. And there's a quote. I saw it a few years ago on the road to Moore County. Maybe you've seen it. I've seen it on billboards. And it's a Jim Elliot quote. I hope you'll remember this quote. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's a wow. I didn't see enough of you writing it down. Let me say it again. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep No U-Hauls behind the hearse. To gain what he cannot lose. You know, the most important theological decision you've got to make before you leave today is whether you believe, really believe, really believe, as to whether you really believe, as to whether you really believe that heaven is real. Because if you really don't believe heaven is real, you just think that's theological church talk, and you're silly for even being here today. You ought to be out eating, drinking, and be merry. But if you really believe that heaven is real, and brothers and sisters, I bet the farm that heaven's real. I put it all on the line that heaven's real. Then I need to live my life this week like the most important thing is not how much gas mileage I'm going to get in my car. Not how cheap I can find the turkey. Not who's coming over for turkey. The most important thing I need to start every day and throughout the day often is say, Lord, how am I doing with the test? How am I doing with the test? Am I living for you? Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please him in all that I do. Such love compels me to answer his call. Living for Jesus, he gave his all. Today, that test that you and I are forced to take, that we need to take, leads us to that last verse, that verse where I want to park for just one moment. Verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. When we realize we're in a temporary situation, it's easy to think this is all there is because that's all we can see, all we can touch, all we can feel. No eyes ever seen, no ears ever heard the glory that is to come. God tells us, I've got a place for you you can't imagine, and yet we try to imagine it. But what I can see is I can feel this pulpit. I can see your face. I can taste turkey. I live in the world that I know I can feel and touch. All five senses, I can experience it. And yet I am here today. I have been here all of my life. Many of you have been in a place like this or this place all your life, claiming and singing those promises, saying that's true. We have carried those that we love the most out and planted them in the ground. If you go back and read a little bit earlier in this passage, Paul says a seed has got to be planted in the ground before it can grow. And he talked about death being the planting of the seed that we can grow into the eternal, imperishable. We believe it. We claim it. We hold fast to it. It gives us hope. It gives us comfort. And that's where our thanks belongs. Thanks belongs to God. Now, you and I, we're going to have problems in the temporary. We're going to have problems I can't even anticipate. When we gathered here just a couple weeks ago, we didn't know that sweet Kayla was going to have a car accident. We didn't know that. We wouldn't have let her get in the car if we'd have known that. We don't know what's going to happen. We live in a world that's temporary. We live in a world that accidents are reality. Problems are real. Cancer is a problem. What are we going to do? Problems we can't anticipate. But thanks be to God. Because when we put our faith and trust in God Almighty, we will win. We will win. Things in the family may not be perfect. I'm going to guess that there might be one family here that has a little issue, just a little issue. Probably every family here has struggles. Every family here has struggles. We're not perfect, but thanks be to God, we've got a family. We may not be financially in life where we thought we'd be, where we ought to be, where we wish we were. But we didn't freeze last night. And there's food in the cabinet. We may not enjoy the greatest health. We may not have all that we hope we would have achieved in life. We may have aches and pains. We may have tremendous physical challenges. We may be anticipating or recuperating from surgery. And yet, we have the promise there's a glorified body awaiting for us. This world around us is in disarray. Politics are corrupt. Natural disasters are real. Crime can touch us and change us in a second. Fire can destroy us. We know even now those areas burning and homes being abandoned and having forced to leave. And bad decisions by others can change us. But thanks be to God, for through Him we're more than conquerors, through Him who gives us strength. When we pass the test of the temporary situation, we begin to give thanks. Let me say that again. When we pass the test of the temporary situation, we will begin to give thanks. Let me say that another way. If you're not giving thanks, you probably haven't passed the test, or you don't believe you're in a temporary situation. You either haven't passed the test, or you've been convinced by the lie of this world that this world is all there is. We must choose today where our investment is. The real victory, he says, comes through Christ Jesus, our Lord. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death, the victory over the temporary, the victory over the problems, the victory over the wrong, the victory over the sin. Thanks be to God. The theology of thanksgiving is when I give God thanks, I become thankful. When I give God thanks, I become thankful. As we conclude this morning, I want to ask us the five-year-old's question, or I'm going to pose the five-year-old's last statement as a question. Have we got around to God yet? This Christmas, will we get around to God? Or will Christmas rob us of its real meaning by the temporary? I'm pretty sure I probably got a Christmas present when I was 28 years old. But for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. I have no idea. The temporary. This morning, hear what Jesus said. What Paul echoed for us to give thanks. Jesus said, they'll know you're Christians by the way you love, that great command he gives us. And Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we pass the test of the temporary, we give thanks. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of being in your presence, maybe all of us, that would be my hope and prayer. Maybe some of us, that would be wonderful. Or maybe one of us, and that would be okay. Today, we'll make some decision. We'll make some change. We'll take some action to give you thanks by how we live. For it is a reality that when we who were given life by you give appreciation to you, we find fulfillment, and we find purpose, and we find hope. Not only for the temporary, but for the eternal. And so, Lord, may our prayer be, thanks be to you, O God, for giving us the victory through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 607 this morning. If God is laying upon your heart some need to make some public decision, my goodness, you would encourage the entire congregation if you would do that, if the Lord leads you to do that. But may each of us, before we leave this place this day, make a decision about Thanksgiving as we stand together. That you gathered with us this day to worship our Lord. Be back this evening at 6:30 with us, and we shall again praise His name as we prepare for Thanksgiving. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray? God, we live in temporary bodies, but today we take the test of living for Thee, of giving unto Thee, of loving You with all our heart and all our strength and all our very spirit. And when we do that, You give us that attitude of gratitude that will draw other people to Your saving grace. Help us to be salt and light in Your world. In Christ's name we pray.
Pulpit furniture, and then go in Christ's love.